We're still in Parashat Tetzave, reading from the Noam Elimelech. My version is Kuf Tzadik Gimel 193, but in the other versions it's a different page. The Ma'amar starts Vezeu Perush Megillah Nikret Ba'Achadasar. This is the meaning that the Megillah is read on the 11th. But we're going to go a few lines back where it says De'ita Ba'Gemara Meichan Matchilim Likrua Megillah. It says in the Gemara, from when do we start reading the Megillah? Purim is next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. Since when do we start reading the Megillah? Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mittakfo Shel Achashverosh. When Achashverosh gets power. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mittakfo Shel Mordechai. When Mordechai gets power. Mordechai Ish Yehudi. Mordechai is the first one we find in any scripts, the name Yehudi. And Mordechai was a Jew. Uflugtayu. And there is a machloket, there's an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We have to explain this argument. Yesh lefaresh. But we're going to explain it based on the level, on the madriga that is called remez. There are four ways to interpret the Torah. Pshat, remez, drash, sod, acronym of a pardes. We're going to explain it on the level that is called remez. Remez is a hint. Dehina yesh shne madrigot tzadikim. There are two levels in a tzadik. One tzadik, yesh tzadik shu mamtik hadinim. One tzadik is able to take the dinim, the judgments, and to sweeten them. On the other hand, there's another tzadik, yesh tzadik shu mamshich kulo rachamim. He knows how to pull mercy, rachamim, into the world. Ven tzich lam takat hadinim klar. Doesn't even have to sweeten the judgments, just pulls in rachamim. וזהו פירוש מגילה נקראת באחד עשר. This is the meaning why it says the Megillah is read on the 11th. דהינה השם יתברך הראה ליחזקאל הנביא התורה הכתובה על מגילה פנים ואחור. When הקדוש ברוך הוא showed the prophet יחזקאל, he showed him the Torah written on a scroll and he showed him both sides. He showed him the front side of the Megillah and the back side of the Megillah. Not Megillah Tester. Rather, he showed him the Torah. The Torah also looks like a Megillah. It's a parchment, and we roll it. That's another way of saying a Megillah. Yechezkel, the prophet, had the merit to see both sides of the parchment. I already told you many times that we only see the front part of the parchment. That's why you notice when we lift up the Torah on Monday, on Thursday, and on Shabbat, and we do Hagbaat HaTorah, everybody's looking in the Torah. They don't know what they're looking at, but they're looking. Everybody's pointing. What are we pointing at? I don't know, everybody does that. Once I was, when I first became observant, everybody went with a finger, and I was like, why are we lifting up the finger? I don't know, everybody does that, so I'm doing it too. And everybody's looking. What are you looking for? I don't know, maybe the lottery numbers. For what we're looking for? No, the pinky is you pointing. You're pointing on the pointing, first of all, you know, like a siman. You know how when I read from the Torah, I have this little hand? It's to point on you. First of all, you need to find your letters of your name. And if you can find the name of Hashem, you'd kevavke. But pointing is also signifying when the nation of Israel went through the ocean in Yamsuf, they said, Zeli vanveo, that's Hashem. So we point on the Torah, that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zot ha-Torah, asher sa Moshe lifnei bnei Yisrael. This is the... Excuse me? Why with the pinky? I heard different... Excuse me? I heard different versions specifically why with the pinky. But nevertheless, maybe we'll do once a whole class why we're doing all these little things. But I don't want to delay from our class. But nevertheless, when you look in the scroll, we only see the front part of the scroll. There is a back side of the scroll. And the back side of the scroll is hidden from us. We don't really see it. I told you already once the story that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim. All the angels, I mean the high-ranking angels, had a lawsuit. And how come the Torah was given to mankind? Should it be given to the angels? Look at these people. They're sinning. The angels said, Yelud Isha, somebody that came out of a woman. Why are they getting the Torah? So the giver of the Torah, the master of the universe, called the one who received the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he subpoenaed him to the court. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, answer them. They're asking, why did you get the Torah and not them? Now Moshe Rabbeinu saw these massive, huge, fiery angels. And he says, I'm afraid to even go close to them. They'll burn me. Hashem says, don't worry. Just put your hand on my chair. You'll be fine. Now answer them. Moshe Rabbeinu was a good lawyer. And he comes to the angels and tells them, why do you think you should get the Torah? They say, because we had it before you. And we're angels. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, but the Torah has nothing to do with you. And they're like, but the Torah, why isn't the Torah has to do with us? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, let's open the Torah and see what it says. So Moshe Rabbeinu opens the Ten Commandments, and it says, Anochi avai Elokecha asher hotzeticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you weren't in Mitzrayim. We were in Mitzrayim. Oh, okay, let's go to the next one. Lo tisa et shem Elokim lashav. Don't believe in other gods. Don't say Hashem's name for vain. Why? You can believe in other gods? You see God in front of you. You don't have idol worship. Let's continue. Zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekodesho. You're not observing Shabbat. We observe Shabbat. Honor your father and mother. You don't have father and mother. Angels don't have fathers and mothers. We have fathers and mothers. Lo tirtzach. Don't kill. You can't kill an angel. You can only kill a human. Lo tignov, don't steal. What, there's stealing between you? And he's going one after the other, and he's telling him, you see, the Torah has to do with us. It's not nothing to do with you. And the angels are like, let me see what's going on here. That's not what we read before. Moshe Rabbeinu took the Torah and he scribbled all the letters. Because originally how the Torah was read was not read how we read it. The angels read the first time, so they're like, that's not the Torah that we read. So Moshe Rabbeinu scribbled all the letters and came out the Torah, what we're reading, the stories. And they came and said, wow, you're right. And actually, that's what it says. Who didn't know that? But the original, the way of the Torah was given, this it says that the Zohar is the interpretation of the real how the Torah was written. We just don't see it. And the angels looked in the Torah and they, oh, okay, I guess that's the Torah belongs to you. And when we lift up the Torah and we're looking at it, our soul sees the letters of the Torah, the original. Not that I'm saying that the Torah we have is not the original, but the more deeper way how the Torah is written. That's why you sometimes can look in the Torah. Look now, there's this softwares of Torah code. And they put the sheet, the Torah, on like a sheet. And suddenly, you don't read it like how you read the Torah. It's just a lot of letters. And if you know how to run through the codes, you see all the combinations of the words. And you see a completely different meaning in it. Words in words. Because you read it sideways, ups and down, and sideways. Nevertheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Yechezkel the Torah that it was written on a parchment. And he showed him both sides. Panim ve'achor. The front and the back. יש להבין הפירוש, we have to understand this explanation, דהינה השם יתברך נתן הבחירה לאדם, הקדוש ברוך הוא gave a person a choice. כמשה, like משה רבנו, ראה נתתי לפניך את החיים. As it says in the Torah, it says, here I have given you life, and what was the rest of the verse? ובחרת בחיים, and you chose life. וזה רמז גם כן במגילה. This hint we have also in the Megillah. Sheherah ota panim ve'achor. When the Megillah that Yechezkel saw, not the Megillah that we read. When Yechezkel saw the Megillah, he saw her from the front and the back. Dahaynu shenatan Hashem itbarach habchira l'adam belimudot Torah hakdosha. Lelamda bifnim, dahaynu lishma, o achor, rotze lomar shelo lishma. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the same idea. It says in the Torah that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us free will. It says, Ra'e natati lifanecha ta chayim, uvacharta b'chayim. It's actually the verse continues. He doesn't say here the whole verse. The verse says, Ra'e natati lifanecha et chayim ve'et amavet, uvacharta b'chayim. I've given you life and death, and you should choose life. So obviously we see that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a free choice. You choose. In the Megillah that Yechezkel saw, Yechezkel saw the front part and the back part of the Torah. in the parchment, basically saying that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a choice. The first choice is to learn the Torah, the Holy Torah, meaning from the front. This is for the sake of the Torah. This is called Lishma. Or to learn the Torah that is from considered the backside. And this is not for the sake of the Torah. Rather, leze pnia v'siba acheret. I'm not learning for the sake of the Torah, rather for a different reason. Maybe because I want to be smart, when maybe I want to put somebody down, maybe I want people to tell me that I'm such a great Talmid Chacham, maybe I want to acquire the knowledge so I can go and get people off the Torah like missionaries do. I don't know, some people have their agenda. So some people, they just lazy, they don't want to work, so they rather just learn Torah because they get money from the Kollel. And they say, I don't feel like working and having a boss. Let me just learn Torah. It's much more interesting. That can be happening in many situations. And this is not learning the Torah for the sake of the Torah. ובוודאי ראוי לקיים הכתוב ובחרת בחיים. And needless to say that one needs to fulfill the script that I have to choose in life, not death. זה שהורו לנו חזל דרכי לימוד באופנים חלוקים. That's why our sages have taught us different ways how to learn Torah. דהיינו, דרך האחד, the first way, מגילה נקראת. You have to read the מגילה. רוצה לומר, דלימוד התורה הקדושה יהיה בדרך הזה, שהתורה נקראת מגילה. That the reading of the Torah, the Holy Torah, should be in the way how we're reading a מגילה as we are mentioned above, meaning for the sake of the Torah. If you were here on Shabbat, then I explained that now before Purim, we read parasha that is called Truma. Last week was Parashat Truma, the words of Torah that I shared during Shabbat, that we always going to read this parasha before Purim, and there is a mitzvah there, Vasitim l'mishkan v'shachanti betocham, built for me a tabernacle and I will dwell in you. And I explained that why does it say betocham? Betocham means plural in all of them. It should say betocho, single. If you're building one tabernacle, one mishkan, why are you telling me in a plural word, betocham? Say betocho, in it, not in them. So the simple explanation is betocham means in each and every one of you, meaning that we are the mishkan, we are the tabernacle. We have to be sanctifying our body and our minds and our thoughts and our speech, so Hashem would dwell in us. But I mentioned that the Arizal explains it a little bit different, and he says, take the word betocham, in them, and cut the word in half, and one part will be betoch, and the other part will be mem. If you're looking how it's written, bet, taf, vav, chaf, mem. Betoch means in, mem is a letter, but it's a unique mem, it's not a regular mem, it's a mem stuma, that it's closed like a box. It's a square. The mem, that is the end of the words, it's a closed mem. Anyways, there was a whole Dvar Torah, we're not going to repeat that now, but basically saying in other words, I said that Parashat Truma is always going to be read before Purim, and this mem, the mem is in the shape of a square. The mem sofit, it's called mem stuma. Why a square? Because a square has four walls. In Hebrew it's called ribs. I don't know if that's how you call it in English. In Hebrew it's called the ribs of the square. Tzlaot. Nevertheless, it has four. Hinting to us that there are four mitzvot that we have to do in Purim that start with Mem. One of them is Mikra Megillah. We have to read the Megillah. That's the first Mem. The second one is Mishloach Manot. We have to give a mishloach manot to other people, a package of food. Unfortunately, in our generation, the mishloach manot is just a bag full of MSG and sugar. It's not mishloach manot, it's just poison. And stale bamba. I don't know if this can be actually considered that you're yotzi in mishloach manot. By the way, I'm not joking. I don't know if this can be considered that you're yotzi with mishloach manot if you bring a bag of junk. It has to be food. It has to be edible food. So if you're bringing Bisli, Cheetos, Schmitos, all this junk, Doritos, and all this is not Mishloach Manot, I'm sorry to tell you. That's a bag of sugar and a bag of MSG. So you might have a questionable doubt here if this is actually Mishloach Manot. Think well before you give the next Mishloach Manot. Mishloach Manot should be fruit, vegetables. I remember, I'll never forget, ask my daughter, she just walked in. She just told me that a few years ago, somebody brought a Mishloach Manot to the school, and it was fruits and vegetables, and the girl that got it started crying, because everybody got lollipops and other stuff, and she got fruits and vegetables. And my daughter just told me this story the other day, because in Shabbat I was talking about the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot. So Mishloach Manot has to be edible food that you give. You can bring a basket full of fruit to somebody. Last year, our Mishloche Manot, we brought this beautiful honey, what I bring from Meron. It's very expensive, by the way. We pay 50 shekels a jar, but it's real organic honey. You eat this honey, you still have from it? You finished? Yeah, Dale also. Excuse me? Yeah, we get from Meron, from a certain individual, that he does it himself. He grows raises, he doesn't grow, but he does it himself. Nevertheless, a few months ago I bought a box and, you know, everybody, we gave out to everybody. But nevertheless, so the Mishloach Manot was beautiful, fresh food and fruit and honey and all sorts of good, delicious, healthy things. So this is the next mitzvah, Mishloach Manot. The third mitzvah that starts with a mem is Matanot Levyonim, which is charity. The translation is gifts to poor people. And the last mitzvah that starts with a mem is Mishte V'Simcha. You have to make a meal, a feast. So these are the four mitzvot that we have to do on Purim, and everybody has to do it. Men, women, children, everybody has to do it. Women also have to come and listen to the Megillah. Now, these are the four mitzvot that hint to us what we need to do to go out of exile. That's what Hashem is telling us in other words. If you follow these four mitzvot, you'll go out of your exile. So we can analyze it very quick. Mikra Megillah, that corresponds to learning Torah. And basically saying in other words that every individual, a man, a woman, kids, everybody has to learn Torah every day. You have to set times that you learn Torah. And it shouldn't be 5 minutes. It should be at least an hour or two. At least you sit and learn Torah. And it's more powerful when it's a set time. The class is at 8:30. That's when I'm showing up. Everybody has to learn Torah. Nobody's exempt. The next one we said, Matanot Levyonim. This is, don't need to interpret it too much. This is charity. You have to give charity. It doesn't mean you have to write checks all day long. It means that you have to do charitable acts. It can be with your time, it can be with your thought, it can be with your space, it can be with your couch, it can be with your hachnasat orchim, it can be you smiling to people. You have to constantly, all day long, be busy with acts of kindness. And the third, we said, Mishloach Manot. This is a very weird mitzvah. I'm giving you a parcel of food and you're giving me one. And you're giving me yours. Nari explains a very interesting concept in the Mishloach Manot. He's basically saying that each and every one of us, we just learned that before in Kedushat Levi Yitzchak, that we all have this spark in me, a nitzotz in my neshama. There's a very unique, there's no doubles. Every soul is like a unique barcode. And when we give Mishloche Manot, it's signifying that I'm sharing with you my nitzotz, and you're sharing with me your nitzotz. Basically saying, in other words, Avat Israel, unconditional love. This is the idea of Mishloach Manot, that I'm giving you part of mine, and you're giving me part of yours. And this is a mitzvah that is very hard to do. We're failing with that miserably. It's called Avat Chinam. Just love another person for no reason. And what we're doing is Sinat Chinam. We're hating for no reason. So we have to apply that. And the third is Mishteh V'Simcha. This is a feast. This is corresponding to the meals on Shabbat. To observing Shabbat. I have to observe Shabbat. These are the four mitzvot, the four mems that we have to do. If we apply that in our generation, this is our ticket out of exile. Learning Torah every day, acts of kindness and charity, loving another person unconditionally, and observing Shabbat. Do all these four and increase in the quantities, meaning more people do it, we're going to go out of exile. This is the secret of the Megillah. So we're saying here that there are two ways that our sages have taught us how I learn Torah. One of them is in the level that I'm looking at the Torah panim, face to face, and this is learning the Torah for the sake of the Torah, because I don't want to learn it for my sake. This is one way. sorry, I went one line forward. Our sages have showed us different ways how to learn the Torah. Basically saying, in other words, דהיינו דרך אחד ומגילה נקראת רוצה לומר דלימוד התורה הקדושה היא בדרך הזה שהתורה נקראת מגילה. The learning of the Torah has to be that I'm learning the Torah only for the sake of the Torah. בעזרת השם, next week we're going to fast, and after that, yeah, we're going to fast, and after that we're going to read a Megillah. You know, you would think that you're breaking the fast. No, you're not. We're going to read the Megillah for another hour. Everybody's all excited. Mariv is coming. We're going to break the fast and attack the table. Right away says, no, whoa. Hold your horses. No eating. First reading the Megillah. And you know, some shuls, you read the Megillah, they do it in 15 minutes. That's it. But some shuls, the Baal Kore, בימי אחשוורוש. And everybody's looking at each other, man, we're going to be sitting here for another 3 hours. That happened to me once. I went to a Yemenite shul. They read the Megillah like 3 hours. Every word is, so that times that, all the words of the Megillah, you're sitting there till 10 o'clock at night like, come on, man. Man, I'm starving. Finish with it already. So you want to choose either somewhere in the middle. Not the ones that fly the 90 miles per hour, and not the shuls that they're emphasizing every tone and every tune in the words. I had it once. I'm not joking. I was somewhere else. I was invited. I went to this Yemenite shul. Wow, that was worse than that 3 hour Megillah reading was worse than the entire day of not eating. And it was so long. And all the kids are already eating, and everybody's like looking at the kids. Now what happens? When you read the Megillah, we have an obligation of reading the Megillah. We're gonna go through the Halachot next week. If you miss one word, you're not Yotzi with the Megillah. So you didn't do the reading. You literally have to listen to every word. And you can't be distracted now with your WhatsApp and all sorts of nonsense. You have to listen to every word. And if you didn't, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. So that's how we have to learn the Torah. Listening to every word. Doing every little part of the Torah. Listening like 100%. Now we continue and it says, Yeh ba'achadasa rotze lomer letaken olam ma'asiyah. It says, when do you start reading the Megillah? This is an opinion that in the Gemara, from the 11th of Adar. Lehalacha, you can start reading the Megillah from Aleph Adar. We mentioned that yesterday. If a person is going to be traveling or going to be in a place that he can't listen to the Megillah on Purim, he can already now read the Megillah or go and listen to the Megillah. We mentioned that in the class. This is Lehalacha. Here he says here, because there is an opinion in the Gemara, that it says, when do we start listening to the Megillah? Yeh ba'achadasar. What does it mean? Rotze lomar letaken olam ha'asiyah. To bring a rectification to the world of Asiya. This is the world of Asiya. Why? Shu olam asher sholtim adinim. Vetzich la'amtikam. This world is where the dinim have control. In the world of Briya and Yetzirah, dinim cannot have any control there. Only in this world. So we have to sweeten the dinim in this world. How do we sweeten the dinim? There's a whole list of things that we do. I mean, one of the things that is most dominating, we do kiddush on Shabbat. Very simple. Hold a cup of wine, say Borei Pri Hagafen, you sweeten the dinim. And there's many other things that we do. But we have to sweeten the judgments, because when I do a sin, right away there's going to be a prosecution. I'm going to now lie right away with instantly. Faster than Google, there's going to be a prosecution in Shemaim. The Yetzirah is going to say, so-and-so just lied, file a lawsuit. Now go deal with this lawsuit. This is called the din. Din is a judgment against you. Now imagine how many dinim we have against us all day long. So I have to sweeten these dinim. זה רמז 11, this is the hint in the word 11, 11. דהיינו הדינים וסיטרא אחרא שהוא י' א'. The dinim and the sitra al achra is corresponding to the number 11, 11. ולזה החיוב מוטל על כל בני אדם לומר סימני הקטורת כתומת משנת איזו מקומן. That's why we have to mention out loud with our mouth when we're reading the simemanim of the ketoret, the types of the herbs and the spices of the incense, specifically 11. To mevatel, to annul, and to sweeten the dinim, the sitra acha, and the dinim and the sitra acha are 11 in number. So I have to mention the 11 simemanim of the ketoret. And we do that in a Mishnah every morning, right before. Simemanim, yeah. Yeah, that's what the spices, that's what we read in the morning. It's called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is called Ezu Mekoman. And we read all the spices, the herbs, and you have to go with your hand. צריב, הציפורן, החלבונה, הלבונה, משקל 70, 70 מנה, מור, וקציעה, שיבולת נרת, חרקום משקל. You have to, like, with your hands, mark it.
What's the 11th one?
Excuse me?
What's the 11th?
Look in the Sidur now, just go through them.
And that's the one that shayach to the
Sitra? Oh, no, all 11, the Sitra Achra and the Dinim are in a number of 11. And I don't know necessarily if he means that there are 11 of them, but the number 11 corresponds to the Sitra Achra and the Dinim. When we say the 11 parts of the spices, then we're counteracting them. It's like sweetening the Dinim. So when you're reading the Simemanim, you can read in the Sidur. You should read it with your hands. Atzari, Atziporen, Achelbona, Halvona, Mishkal Shivim Shivim Mane, the weight of it. שיבולת נהיות חרקום משקל 16, 16 מנה הקושד 12, קלופה 3, קינמון 9, בורית קרצ'ינה, and so forth. Read it in the Sidur, you'll see all the ones. But it's not the 11th, is all, you have to say all 11. That when I'm saying this Mishnah, איזו מקומן, why? בכדי שימתיק בי"א סימני הקטורת את י"א כוחות הדינים. That I should take with the 11 powers of the spices of the ketoret, of the incense. Why? So I can sweeten or annul the power of the 11 powers of the judgments. The 11 powers of the sitra acha. Shem ashtei asar yeriot izim kayadu alechodechen. When the minyan was built, when the mishkan was built, there were 11 wires that, not wires, like sheets of goat skin that used to cover the Mishkan. It's called Ashte Asar Yeriot Ezim. Why 11? Why, what's the power of this 11? Is corresponding to the 11 powers of the Sitra Acha, that you have to break it and sweeten it. And there's a whole, it says he ends the mamar by saying kayodi lechokhmei leyodei chen, to the ones who know Kabbalah, they know what I mean by saying these yiriot izim, the sheets made out of the leather of the goat. But nevertheless, the sitra acha has 11 powers of judgments, of dinim. Therefore, I have to constantly, we do it twice a day, that we read the 11 spices of the ketoret to sweeten the dinim, to annul the power of the sitra acha. And specifically, he's saying that one, this is the opinion, I mean, lahalacha, we don't read the Megillah on the 11th. It's just an opinion in the Gemara. The Gemara, when it gives an opinion, this is something that it's important to know. And many people say, why in the Talmud there's arguments? And we only go by one opinion at the end. The reason is because the other opinions, it's not necessarily given to show us the halakha. It's just hinting to us on some hidden message, and it's coming in the oral Torah, in the Gemara. It says when Mashiach is going to come, what we have, the Torah that we have up until now is going to be nothing. Mashiach is going to start exposing and revealing these secrets in the Torah, and specifically in the Talmud. In the Talmud, we reading the oral Torah, we're thinking it's an argument in halakha. Mashiach is going to start coming and pointing out verses in the Gemara that will be deep secrets. So specifically here, there's one opinion in the Gemara that says we start reading the Megillah on the 11th. This is not the halakha. It's just a hint. Why specifically? Because the power of the Megillah, which is equivalent, hold on, equivalent to the reading of the Torah, has the ability to break the power of the Sitra Acha.
So on the 11th we read it?
We don't read it on the 11th. We read it on the 13th at night. So, the 13th we fast. And on the 14th we read the Megillah. But that's what I'm saying. Because there's an opinion in the Talmud that says we read the Megillah on the 11th. It's not referring to reading the actual Megillah. It's hinting to us that when I learn Torah, Lishma, for the sake of the Torah, that's the way to sweeten the judgments. That's the way to break the power of the Sitra Acha. That's why when you have a problem with the Sitra Acha that is pulling you to some pit, then the only way to fight the Sitra Acha is only Torah, is to break it with Torah. And each one has a different Sitra Acha, a different pit. One pit is the casino, where you donate all your money to the casino. Another pit is going to be sitting in front of a screen. You give all your energy into the screen, into the Sitra Acha. It's pulling you one way or another. Another person is into the bar. Another person is into the corner, the guy who stands in the corner with his hand in the pocket, that he's looking around all the time. So the Sitra Acha pulls you to many different pits. And we all battle with it. Don't think you're the only one. Everybody has his choice of Sitra Acha. Sitra Acha means the other side of holiness, and it wants to suck your kedusha. So it's like a drug dealer selling you your daily fix. And each and every one of us has a few Sitra Acha that pulls us. I'm just giving a few examples, but I mentioned the casino, the screen, the computer screen, many other places. We can't start now naming them all because we're going to waste the whole shiur on that. But nevertheless, the only way to break the power of the Sitra Acha is Torah. Oh, this is the only way. But learning for the sake of the Torah, not coming for 5 minutes and going home. This is not learning Torah. Learning Torah is when your tuchus starts hurting you and your back hurts you because you're sitting so long and your eyes are already like you're sitting, you don't even hear. You hear one word from the teacher, another word, your eyes are like, turning around. You know, I should once have a camera this direction. Usually the camera is on this direction. I should have once a camera this direction to see all the... And all the, you know, people sitting and drooling. Somebody once told me, doesn't bother you, people fall asleep in your class? No? And my wife also, when my kids can't fall asleep, my wife calls me, put them to sleep. Obviously I have a talent to put people to sleep. But the reality is that when we learn Torah, it has to be for the sake of the Torah. And Bezrat Hashem, we should merit, bemet, to learn Torah with excitement that it will be called Lishma, for the sake of the Torah. And this is going to allow us to break our Sitra Acha, to sweeten the dinim for anything that we do. And this is ultimately is going to allow us to go out of our own exile. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to constantly, everything that we do, to do Lishma, for the sake of it, and to learn Torah, for the sake of the Torah. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to experience it in our own life.